Support for WABE comes from the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. If you love Atlanta, you can invest in the big picture. Learn more at cfgreateratlanta.org.
I'm Earlonne Woods.
I'm Nigel Poor. We're the hosts and creators of Ear Hustle from PRX's Radiotopia.
Ear Hustle is a show about life inside prison, but it's not your typical prison podcast.
In this next season, we've got stories about the objects people keep inside their prison cells.
About residents in a women's prison who say they want to stay there.
And the most beautiful prison garden. Earlonne, I will never forget it.
Ear Hustle. Stories about life on the inside, told by those who live it.
Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts.
From WABE in Atlanta, welcome to this edition of Closer Look. I'm Rose Scott. Coming up on today's program, From Charlotte's Web to the Bluest Eye. These books have been challenged and even banned from some school libraries. Now, last year marked a record number of requests for books to be banned, books about civil rights leaders and coming-of-age stories for LGBTQ youth. But that's led to a Decatur-based children's bookstore, Little Shop of Stories, which now has a banned book club for teens and adults. We'll talk about all of that coming up, but first this. It is Election Day in Clayton County and for the new city of Mapleton. At the top of the ballot is the runoff for mayor between Aaron Carmen and Michael Owens. There are also four city council runoffs. Mapleton is now Cobb County's largest city, surpassing Marietta. The 15 polling precincts in Mapleton will be open from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Over in Clayton County, voters will elect a permanent replacement for former Sheriff Victor Hill, as we hear from WABE's Raul Bali.
The runoff features interim Clayton County Sheriff Levon Allen and Fulton County Solicitor General Chief Investigator Clarence Cox. Robin Kemp with the Clayton Crescent says the race has become a referendum on former Sheriff Hill, who's backing Allen.
Hill has been personally campaigning, delivering signs, using his popularity to try and get out the vote for Levon Allen.
Kemp notes that Clarence Cox, meanwhile, has a wide range of backers, including Clayton County Commission Chair Jeff Turner.
They're not happy with the state that the jail is in, and they're wanting to just sort of clean everything out, start fresh, do a forensic audit in the sheriff's department, and start from zero.
Hill was sentenced last month to a year and a half in federal prison for violating the civil rights of some county jail detainees. Raul Bali, WABE News.
In other news, Georgia has one of the worst maternal mortality rates in the nation. It's nothing new. We've known this for a long time, but it's a crisis throughout the U.S. As Jess Mador reports, doctors, advocates, and lawmakers gather at a national forum this week to share solutions.
The federal government is making more funding available for community-based maternal mortality programs, like one in Detroit that brings together doctors, midwives, and others to reach women while they're pregnant and after they give birth. It was founded by former Michigan Surgeon General Dr. Kimberly Dawn Wisdom.
As we analyze the data, it shows that we definitely are decreasing the maternal mortality rate and the infant mortality rate. We designed this for national spread and replication. And I think with that, we can move the needle in our nation.
Legislation in Congress would boost funding for more maternal mortality prevention work around the U.S., including in Georgia. Jess Mador, WABE News.
Dr. Charles Stanley, pastor emeritus of First Baptist Atlanta, has died. He was 90 years old. Stanley became the senior pastor of the First Baptist Church of Atlanta back in 1971 and launched a half-hour program called The Chapel Hour. Also an author and considered a pillar in the region's faith community, Pastor Stanley would eventually expand to a nationwide audience and a ministry that is now translated into 127 languages around the world. Again, Dr. Charles Stanley, pastor emeritus of First Baptist Atlanta, has died. He was 90 years old. No cause of death has been mentioned. Now, here's something we haven't heard in a long time. Rent is declining in metro Atlanta. In fact, according to a new report, on average, rents are getting lower throughout the nation, as we hear from WABE business reporter Marlon Hyde.
On average, rent is lower compared to last year's highs, but it's still higher than before the pandemic. In March, median rent in metro Atlanta was $2,055, according to national real estate company Redfin. That's more than 2% lower than this time last year. According to Redfin, nationwide rental prices dropped by 0.4% over the past year. It's the first annual decrease since the beginning of the pandemic. One big reason? More rental properties on the market, and more are coming. Meanwhile, some Metro Atlanta communities, including Marietta, are pausing any more apartment developments. Marlon Hyde, WABE News.
And finally, with 8 matches played, Atlanta United has 4 wins, 3 draws, and 1 loss. The season is young, but it never hurts to get into a groove, right? And the team is also bringing awareness about the environment.
Es muy importante ser responsable por el planeta. Lo tenemos que proteger para nosotros ahora en día, pero más importante, para el futuro de nuestros niños, animales y hogares.
This is the one planet we have, and we need to take care of it.
That's from the One Planet, One Chance. It's a video short that's on the team's Twitter account, just in time for Earth Day, which is this coming Saturday. And whether it's sports or anything else, politics, pretty much any issue, our commitment to bring you the listener fact-based information that we do every day, well, that's why we do it, for you. And it's not just news, but decades of incredible programming. You don't believe me? Listen to this.
Hi, it's just me, Paula Poundstone. I want to congratulate WABE on their 75th anniversary. If not for WABE, people in coffee houses would talk about coffee. How's yours? Good. How's yours? Good. For the last 75 years. Thanks to WABE for enriching conversations and lives for 75 years. And to WABE listeners for making it possible.
How's yours? Cool. WABE listeners just like you, as we celebrate 75 years of service, well, you know what? We're asking for help from you to keep it going. Pretty easy to do. WABE.org/donate. And we always say thank you. It's our goal here on Closer Look. And as always, you know me, I'm Rose Scott. So today we're here in our spring fundraiser and we're asking for your donation because it helps to create better understanding and interesting interviews. That's something that we do every day here on Clolo. That's what we people in the know, we call it Clolo. Right now we've got yet another reason to give, and pretty cool to have a WABE politics reporter joining me today, Sam Greenglass, owner of Sneakers and a Dog. Sam, glad to have you.
Hey, Rose, how's it going?
Why are you over there pushing buttons? You don't need to push a button.
Below my pay grade. Ah, sorry.
Pushing buttons.
You know, Rose, when you give right now, we will enter you into a drawing for an Atlanta experience we've never offered in Closer Look before. It is a drawing to win a 1-year family pass for the Children's Museum right out there near Centennial Olympic Park. This is for 2 adults, up to 4 children, includes daily play sessions and a whole lot more. Your gift right now in this fundraiser helps bring us Closer Look to you and gets you entered at the same time. So please take a moment to give what may very well be your very first donation or a regular donation at wabe.org/donate or call 678-553-9090.
My name is Cherise Williams and I live in the Chosewood Park neighborhood. I really appreciate Closer Look with Rose Scott because I feel like she brings really important lenses to the stories that she reports, always asking questions about equity and fairness. She makes the people she's interviewing about a story break things down so the average person who may not know every single detail comes away with a pretty holistic understanding of the events that are unfolding.
And you know, it is so true. You are not going to get away with any softball questions when you're interviewed by Rose Scott. I know, I have been there. Plus, she always has the listener in mind. And it's really important. You don't need to have a master's in public policy to understand a conversation Rose is having with a politician.
Although they think you need to have one, Sam.
But you know, if you think about it, it really is worth supporting the journalism that happens right here on Closer Look. You can do that by heading to wabe.org/donate.
And let me just say this, Sam. I really appreciate all the work that you and Raul did and all other reporters in covering this past legislative session. I mean, our listeners love you all. You have fans in St. Louis you've never even met, because I have folks that listen. They're like, where's Sam or I'll come back on? I'm like, just hold on. So thank you for all the hard work that you did and bringing some pretty complex and very controversial and for some folks, very passionate measures that our lawmakers are going to be voting on. So this is my opportunity to say thank you to Raul.
And that's what Closer Look does best. This is where we can get into that stuff. We can dig through the meat, pull something apart, and have that time to really understand the context. Why does this matter? How does it work? And that is what Closer Look does so well.
And I appreciate that. And remember now, when you give today, your name is being entered into that drawing to win an annual pass for two adults and up to four kids to the Children's Museum. I did a segment on the Children's Museum some years ago. It is a fabulous place. I was in there sliding on stuff, playing. I was like a big kid, but that's what I do. By the way, for full contest details, which I cannot win, neither can Sam or Daniel or our pledge producer, Stacy, or even Osaria back there on the board. We can't win, but you can. And your odds of winning are pretty good right now. So please give at wabe.org/donate or call 678-553-9090, and we'll walk you through it. By the way, if you're listening to the evening rebroadcast of Closer Look, don't worry, we got you too. You're also going to enter you into this drawing, so be sure to give your gift as well. Again, wabe.org/donate or the old-fashioned way, 678-553-9090. As always, we say thank you so much. Again, the reason we have a fundraiser like this is simple. We're looking for donations to cover the cost of programs like Closer Look, City Lights, H. Johnson, all that good stuff. Wait, don't tell me.
As we celebrate 75 years of service, we've created a special thank you gift. It's the brand new, iconic WABE tote bag. To create it, we've turned to Atlanta artist Melissa A. Mitchell. It's vibrantly colored, along with our 75th anniversary logo. And it's yours with a new monthly gift of $10 or a one-time gift of $120. When we say listener-funded, we mean you. So take 3 minutes to give right now at wabe.org/donate or call 678-553-9090. Thank you.
And remember, right now, when you give to support Closer Look, we're entering your name to win that annual pass for two adults and up to four kids to the Children's Museum. Sam, have you been to the Children's Museum?
I have not, but I love museums, so I guess I need to add it to my list.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool. And so this drawing is open for you, not for you, Sam, but for you, the listener, for giving to WABE right now at wabe.org/donate. We need you. And again, full contest rules are at wabe.org/contest rules. And you can also give by calling 678-553-9090. And as always, we say thank you. Now, coming up next, Sam, ban books. As more books are banned for children across the country, we talked to the manager of Little Shop of Stories, which is now hosting a banned book club for teens and adults. And Sam, this was something else that the legislature has been dealing with the last couple of years about divisive concepts and things of that nature and all that. So we're going to talk about bans. But I was surprised that Charlotte's Web was on this list.
But, you know, this is a chance where we can pull back the curtain, take an issue at the legislature and get beyond the bill and talk about how it matters in our community.
Yes, because talking animals.
I don't know. I'm pro. It's my bias.
You're pro talking animals?
Yeah. Arthur on our great PBS station. Who doesn't like it?
I like Arthur. We're back in a moment.
Support for WABE comes from the Community Foundation for Greater Atlanta. You can go beyond giving to impact. Learn more at cfgreateratlanta.org. Support for WABE comes from 100 Miles, a nonprofit committed to preserving Georgia's 100-mile coast. Protecting this critical coastal ecosystem takes all of us. Watch the stories of the innovators and future leaders who help keep our coast flowing at ourgeorgiacoast.org.
And Closer Look continues from WABE here in Atlanta. I'm Rose Scott. 2021 saw a record number of requests to ban books, and the following books were the 10 most banned books of that school year. Y'all ready? Okay, here we go. Gender Queer, a Memoir. Okay, All Boys Aren't Blue, Out of Darkness, The Bluest Eye, The Hate U Give, Lawn Boy, The Absolutely True Diary of a Part-Time Indian, 13 Reasons Why, The Kite Runner, Later Gator, and Crank of the Crank series. Yes, those books were on a list. Now, according to the American Library Association, complaints were raised against more than 1,800 book titles. Get this, in 2022, that previous record, number of books being challenged, actually, the record was shattered. And again, number one was Genderqueer, a Memoir. Now, with states also working to ban books on the college level, PEN America CEO Suzanne Nossel says censorship has reached new heights, and she said this on PBS NewsHour.
Intensification, far more book bans sprouting up all over the country than we ever saw before, more formalized efforts, not just a challenge in an individual school system or library, but legislation being introduced in state houses that would affect the availability of books, you know, all over the state and every school and library. The ferocity of the debates and the link to larger political tensions and polarization, it's inflaming communities, and that's something we haven't seen before.
What books do you see most affected? Where's the impact?
It's overwhelmingly books by and about people of color and LGBTQ individuals. So it can be stories about a transgender kind of coming of age story, stories about slavery, about Black Americans and the Black experience and racial injustice in this country. So those kinds of narratives that are something other than kind of a pure, very traditional, you know, what some people might think of as a standard old school American story.
Mm-hmm. Well, Georgia laws, such as last year's Senate Bill 226 and the state's so-called divisive concepts measure, have also limited access to certain books and even discussions in classrooms centered around race, racism, and gender identity. Meanwhile, a local children's bookstore has created a banned books book club for teens and adults to, quote, have a good time fighting ignorance and fear, close quote. Today, I'm joined by Justin Colusi Estes. He's a manager of Little Shop of Stories in Decatur. Welcome.
Thank you.
Where's my shirt? Pledge Day. We're giving out shirts and hats and all kinds of stuff.
And I didn't bring a shirt that says read.
Let me ask you this. How long have you been, how long has Little Shop of Stories been around?
We opened in 2005 in downtown Decatur on the square. There's a Waffle House where we originally opened. We moved across the square in 2008. Right where our neighbors are the Brick Store. Mm-hmm. We're right across from the DeKalb Historical
Are you near Squash Blossom?
We are. We're just down the street from
there's
Squash
There's a dog
Blossom.
In there named Squash that I have he's like my god dog. My dog sits Squash.
Yeah, we love all our Decatur neighbors.
Yeah. What do you make of just this? It is probably the last few years. I mean, look, calls to ban certain books, that's nothing new, you know. But it seems like the last few years has been this sort of, as she even said in that clip, this ferocious, you know, passion behind. What do you think that stems from?
Well, one of the reasons I started this book club was because we were seeing so many books that calls to be banned. Of that list, mm-hmm. I don't know off the top of my head, but I was ticking off as you were mm-hmm. saying them. I feel like at least half, if not mm-hmm. the majority, were books for particularly teens. Mm-hmm. And so I think that there's a lot of things going on here. I think that there are dynamic shifts across the U.S. and in individual communities mm-hmm. where we're seeing a shift away from an older generation to a newer generation that has their own very strong, passionate views that I think that there's communities are much more, to use a hot button word, much more diverse than they used to be. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's a lot of anxiety, particularly one that's being stoked by people who have a lot to gain from it. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of fear of the unknown. And unfortunately, I think that kids and the books they read and the media they consume and the world that they want to inhabit is at the mm-hmm. center of that.
I remember when Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer, that was kind of always the book everyone went to because of the use of the N-word mm-hmm. there. That was a storyline. That's what they called a gentleman there. This has obviously evolved since that time. What do you hear from your customers, your people come in and say, you know I can get a book here, mm-hmm. but what are families? What are you hearing from families about all this?
We are very fortunate to live in a city that truly embraces. They are hungry to see all kinds of faces, mm-hmm. hear all kinds of voices in the books they consume. There has been a movement in the last 10 years or so. The phrase "we need diverse books" mm-hmm. was the catchphrase put on a concerted effort to speak to the publishing industry to say, please, we would like to see more books with more faces.
And especially in children's books.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up, there weren't a lot of children's books that showed little girls of color, little black girls that I could relate to, you know. And so there's been this push. And now, because your primary is children's books, correct?
We're about 75-80% kids' books. We do carry some adult books.
What criteria do you use? Have you ever had a book, you know what? I'm not sure this really should be for children. Maybe this is more YA or...
We pride ourselves on a well-curated collection, and we rely on two things. One is where it's shelved in the store. Mm-hmm. So we shelve, instead of by subject category, for the most part, we shelve by age.
Okay.
And then also a knowledgeable staff that is happy to not only talk about the books we know and recommend the books that we're familiar with, but also to say to a parent, you know, I'm not sure about that book. Let's look around. So I had, I was doing a book fair at a school mm-hmm. on Sunday, and there was a graphic novel by Dan Santat about when he was in middle school, he went on a school trip to Paris, and it's called The First Time for Everything. Mm-hmm. And he has his first kiss, his first, you know, interest in sort of discovering the wider world. He drinks a beer for the first time, or, you know, alcohol for the first time. He because he's 14, and at that time that was the drinking age in Germany. So there's this great scene of him taking a swallow and then almost spitting it out. There's encounters kids his age that are smoking. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of this, the adult world intruding on the space and him suddenly discovering things. A parent was buying that, their child wanted to buy the book, and their child was 8. And I said, you know, just so you're aware, there are these things. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, every family is different.
Sure.
Some parents are. One of the things that Diane Capriola, one of the owners mm-hmm. of Little Shop of Stories, always says is that she would rather her kids first encounter something in a book where they can read it, where they have the space to engage the idea, mm-hmm. whatever new thing it might be, scary, exciting, whatever, and come to her and talk to her about it, rather than first encountering it in a space where there's peer pressure, where they suddenly find themselves alone without somebody to talk to about it.
And I guess for some folks who say, as a parent, I should be able to sort of, you know, oversee that space and make sure that this is something appropriate for my child. When we talk about in a classroom and the scholastic setting, I guess, if you will, do you feel with all this passion behind banning books, what it will do in that space, in the classrooms and in the school libraries? And you were talking about earlier before you came in that even some publishers, you know, are already trying to pre-edit the edit before the books even gets published.
Yeah, and it's an intentional concerted effort, but that fear is creating a lot of hesitancy. Last week I was talking to Jerry Kraft, whose book The New Kid has won multiple awards, including the Newbery, which is one of the most prized, mm-hmm. highly recognized book awards for books in that chapter book middle grade category. It's a graphic novel about a kid who's going off to school and finds himself encountering new situations. It's funny, it's incredibly popular, and he finds it banned in his home state, and mm-hmm. he also finds that he has gotten more attention mm-hmm. for his book being banned than he has for any number of awards he's won. And he was saying exactly this, that the publishing industry normally follows where there is attention, mm-hmm. awards, enthusiasm, and there hasn't been a number of you haven't seen the New Kid lookalike books the way you have the Diary of a Wimpy Kid lookalikes. And why is that? I mean, it has everything to do with the fact that Jerry Craft is writing about a young black kid. Mm-hmm. And he did it in part because, you know, he said when he was coming along in the 70s and 80s, all the families and stories of kids of color that he saw were always, you know, very serious and, you know, terrible things were happening. And he just wanted a fun story about a kid that looked like him. And, you know, so many kids have just delighted in it because mm-hmm. they see themselves there. And it's really unfortunate that the kind of thing that I think is intention behind some of these bannings is causing librarians, publishers to be afraid to shelve these books, these books.
And for our local independent-owned bookstores that we all want to support, you know, we all should support. That's not Rose being editorial. Send me an email. I don't care. You all have an opportunity, you see, to fill in that void for parents and kids to come and have a safe space or a space to explore. And this book club is going to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're not alone. I mean, I was talking to one of the managers of Karis Books, which is a feminist bookstore in Decatur.
Mm-hmm. I used to read to children there years ago.
Oh, excellent. Well, they have afternoon once a week thing where trans kids can gather. Mm-hmm. And they were saying how wonderful it is just to see kids that in outside of this space, they have to constantly worry about, you know, what pronouns people are going to use. Are they going to get to use the bathroom they want to use? Are they going to have to be in a sports event where they run against, you know, kids that, you know, they don't feel they're in the wrong place? Where here they get to just be dorky teenagers talking about dorky teenager stuff. They get to be themselves in the space.
Because teenagers are dorky?
Well, yeah. And
all teenagers, send your emails to Justin.
Yeah, stop by and yell at me and I'll recommend book to you. But the same thing with Little Shop of Stories. Yeah. We really do try that. My fear is when Mouse was banned, mm-hmm. we did a banned book display and we sold a lot of Mouse and people mm-hmm. said, you're so brave for selling Mouse. And I love Mouse, Art Spiegelman's memoir. Mm-hmm. It's fantastic. We were not brave. You know, it is a thing we do. We want to sell books. The problem is not in a bookstore. The problem is in libraries where people who don't have the money to buy a book, where kids who don't have the agency to go out to a bookstore and with their own money buy a book, those are the people that are being denied these books because those are the spaces that are most at risk.
Yeah.
You know, I always tell people, yes, please buy this book here. Please read it. Please challenge, you know, understand, engage these ideas in this space, but also go and support your library.
As we wrap up, do you all, people can meet at the bookstore? Is it virtual?
It's an in-person book club. We meet once a month. This month we're meeting this week actually to discuss James and the Giant Peach, which has been challenged and banned in the past. And then also there's recent controversy about Roald Dahl's estate making changes, the publishers making changes. But we've
James and the Peach?
James and the Giant Peach.
And I'm familiar with it. There's a challenge to that?
Yes. Evidently the spider's too sexy. We have discovered in our discussion of the banned books that it is not the most fruitful conversation to question why books are banned because people ban books for all kinds of dumb reasons.
You just want to give people the space.
But it's important to read these books and engage in them and see what, it really is a window to just discover a world that's within a book and share that with people who are interested in these things. The banned book thing is kind of gives it a sexy kind of twinge, but it also helps keep this very question about what is going on in our communities and what are people trying to deny us from reading and seeing front and center so that hopefully we can go out into the world and try and keep these ideas alive and keep these wonderful books alive and get them in the hands of people who otherwise might not have access to them.
All right. Well, they better not ban Charlie Brown because that's, you know, I know Snoopy, you know, can be controversial sometimes.
You know, Linus is not the example of masculinity that we want out there. I think we should.
Oh, here we go. And Lucy is a little bit pushy.
There you go. Absolutely.
I'm just saying, I like Lucy, but she's a little bit pushy sometimes. Sam, do you have a question? put Sam Greenglass on the spot. From Little Shop of Stories, Decatur-based. Justin, thank you so much for coming and taking time. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
I would love to come over. We'll bring the entire Closer Look team over there to read to the kids.
Please do. We could have a story time.
We will do that. They don't know that yet, but they've just all been volunteered. So I'll have to probably buy them lunch or something. Thank you, Justin. That is a classic track there from Pete Rock and CL Smooth. By the way, we'll be exploring sampling in those early days of hip-hop because it was such an innovative component. It's Closer Looks Hip-Hop at 50 series taking place through August of this year. And the reason we're able to bring you an in-depth analysis with that series is, well, due to support from a fundraiser like this through y'all. It's simple. We're looking for donations to help cover the cost of programs and all the great series you hear on Closer Look. And to cover the cost of what it takes to bring you the stories like the one we just heard, talking about banned books. So please take a moment to give your spring gift at wabe.org/donate. I'm Rose Scott, as always, joined this hour by WABE politics reporter Sam Greenglass.
Hey there, Rose.
Hey, Sam.
You know, and as Rose just mentioned there, we need help to fund the work that we do. And to encourage you to pitch in right now, we are entering you to win an annual pass for two adults and up to four kids to the Children's Museum. This drawing is open to those who give right now during Closer Look, so your odds of winning are really good. You can give at wabe.org/donate or 678-553-9090. And, you know, we know that you are not making a gift just for this prize.
Sure they are.
It is. No, Rose, it's because they appreciate you and they appreciate Closer Look and all of the interesting stories on housing, on health, on transit, on politics, the full spectrum of life and what it means to live in Metro Atlanta. That is what people are here for. So please take a moment to give right now at wabe.org/donate. And thank you.
Hey, I'm Elsa Chang from NPR. When you don't have the answers, when things feel chaotic or difficult, sometimes the best thing you can do is listen. On public radio, you can listen to experts.
An aerosol is something that will remain in the air for long periods of time.
Listen to journalists on the ground.
I meet Jane and Joki Paris in front of a maternity clinic in one of Nairobi's big slums.
And listen to voices you might not otherwise hear.
But the truth is, things like this happen when people feel powerless, and something has to change.
When you donate to this station, you ensure that you and your community can keep listening. Here's how to give.
Really easy, 678-553-9090 or online at wabe.org/donate. And before we continue, I think we want to thank some folks, Sam.
Yeah, we've got pledges coming in from Evelyn in Roswell, Patricia in Decatur, and Oscar in Atlanta. It is because of people like these guys that we are able to do what we do. So thank you.
So be like them. And remember, when you donate right now, your name is being entered to win an annual pass for two adults and up to four kids to the Children's Museum. A really, really fun place. An educational place as well, but it's fun. It's really cool. So look, since you're listening right now, why not make what could be your very first gift at wabe.org/donate or again at 678-553-9090.
As we celebrate 75 years of service, we'd like to thank you with your gift today with the WABE Bluetooth speaker. It not only pairs easily to your phone or tablet, it's also a great piece of shelf art. This 4-inch black speaker features the iHeart WABE logo printed on the front. And it's yours with a monthly gift of $30 or a one-time gift of $360. 3 minutes of your time right now will help WABE move into the next 75 years of service at wabe.org/donate. And thank you.
Having news and information you can trust is more important now than ever. And you, the listener, are also important, not just as a listener, but as a supporter. And right now, we are turning to you because you value WABE.
And listen, we're asking for your financial support to help us do what we do best, which is bring you news and information, credible news and information. There's a difference because there's some stuff out there, Sam, that, as they say, that ain't credible. But, you know, back to us, we are. Consider $10 a month and know that it makes an impact. It really, really does. So do it now at wabe.org/donate or call 678-553-9090. As always, we say thank you. And Closer Look continues here on 90.1 WABE in Atlanta. I'm Rose Scott. Community, it's at the heart of what we do here on Closer Look, from speaking to local leaders and, yes, reading your emails that y'all love to send at 2 in the morning, but I do read them. And it's also why we host Coffee Conversations, something that we started some years ago. And it's pretty simple. Each month, we visit a new neighborhood coffee shop, or I should say a different neighborhood coffee shop, to spotlight local issues and stories that matter to you. And we've had some incredible turnout for the ones we've already had, so we want to keep that going. All this kicked off in December of last year at South Atlanta's Community Grounds, located inside the Carver Market. Our panel included owner Jeff Depp, Grape Roots co-founder Malcolm Benson, and Atlanta City Councilmember Jason Winston. So just under a year into his first term, Councilmember Winston talks about equity and a long list of transit and housing projects coming to his district and how he wants developers to engage with residents.
You have a lot of neighborhoods, you have a lot of MPUs that are pulling on you. Mm-hmm. So how do you, or plan to, ensure that you don't get the emails that I get? Oh, Grant Park, and I've got these emails. Sure. Grant Park gets everything. Mm-hmm. Armwood gets everything. What about us? How are you going to make sure that you can at least be in conversations with all these neighborhoods that you represent?
So part of it for me was, and I think, you know, we're in South Atlanta, and so every neighborhood in District 1, and so many historic neighborhoods, They're their own tribe, you know. South Atlanta, you got people.
It's like Wakanda. Is there all these different tribes over there? Yeah.
And so often and for so long, they've kind of operated in silos, and I've kind of used the moniker One District One, mm-hmm. and it's about being able to see more than just your neighborhood. You should see other neighbors. So for instance, Grant Park, you have unique issues, but I want you to see that there are other issues in other parts of the mm-hmm. district that are important, or maybe even more important than some of the things that you're concerned about.
Because there was a time when didn't nobody want to move in Grant Park. Let's be really clear. I've been here for a long time. It was mm-hmm. I was looking for places like, well, you don't want to go here. You don't want to go there. And now, you know, Grant Park is hot. Mm-hmm. Edgewood is hot. I remember I would play basketball in Edgewood with my friends, and they were like, you better get out of this neighborhood. I'm like, well, ain't nobody checking for us. We just playing ball.
Sure.
But now there are million-dollar townhomes mm-hmm. off of Edgewood.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It is. And, I mean, Atlanta is on fire, but District 1 is really on fire. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so much development coming. I mentioned the BRT. We have the next portion of the paved belt line coming to this district. And so we've got a lot of new developments. Just to give you an example, within a mile of here, you've got about 10,000 units of housing that are coming within the next 2 years. And so
affordable?
So a large portion of that is affordable because of the lessons we learned about Beltline and adding in affordability in those projects. So we do have affordable housing coming into the district.
What is the lesson to be learned about the good, the bad, and the challenging with the Beltline?
So I think the first piece is that, you know, we looked at the east side and it developed so quickly mm-hmm. that everything was reactionary. We had a unique opportunity because we knew this portion wasn't happening for a long time to figure out how do we look at the affordability piece? Mm-hmm. How do we look at the transportation piece, not just about the Beltline, but about connectivity to other neighborhoods?
Right.
And so, you know, that's partner up with like the PATH Foundation, which we've mm-hmm. done. And Jeff has been very instrumental in a lot of those conversations, saying the Beltline paved part ends here, but how do we connect that to, say, a community grounds where people are going to want to go?
Okay, so if you're working on a housing piece, but there's another piece to that, and that is folks want to live and work mm-hmm. in their community. Jeff can only hire so many people. He would love to hire 100 people. Mm-hmm. He can't. But for those businesses that come, and I'm not talking about the big developers, but also for the, you want to get small businesses to look at this community, but you got to also make sure they have incentives. If you give incentives to, here we go with the M word, Microsoft.
Yes.
Sorry about that, President Shipman. You know, or another developer coming out of New York who's going to develop, you know, West End Mall, whenever that happens. How do you make sure small businesses get that same type of attention?
So we have a great organization within the city of Atlanta, Invest Atlanta, that has all types of great resources for small businesses. You know, they've got grants that people can get for improvements. They've got low interest loans. Right now, they even introduced a new program where business owners can get down payment assistance up to $200,000 to be able to purchase commercial property.
Really?
And so I think what we haven't done is a good job of being able to get the word out about these programs. And so, you know, that's on council, that's on the mayor's administration to make sure that we get out in the community. We talk to folks who are interested in starting their own businesses so that they know about the type of programs that are available to them.
Beyond having a seat at the table, because sometimes you can get invited just because it looks good, but then when you get to the table, they don't let you talk.
Sure. No, people are talking. And, you know, we're meeting with folks in the community. We're letting them know that they have a voice. You know, for developers coming to me, I'm letting them know they need to go meet with the community first.
Because who's come to you? Can you tell us?
Oh, I won't name names.
Come on.
But you know, if they're calling me, they need to be calling the community.
They call you
first.
And they say, hey, you know, you want to build a XYZ, and you say, talk to the community?
I say, talk to the community first.
And then what do they say?
Oh, you know, they say different things, but I say, you got to go talk to the community first.
What is your one suggestion to the NPUs who really carry influence? And I've heard things about NPUs. The NPU structure needs to change. I think there were some suggestions made by a local organization in terms of this model needs to change. I mean, it's been around since Maynard Jackson. You know, this was his idea.
Yeah.
What is your hope for NPUs and how they can work with you all?
And it's so important you bring up Maynard Jackson. John H. Calhoun, who was the first African-American in my seat, was the one who introduced that legislation. Yeah. And so it's something that I really think about. You know, how do we get more community involvement and strengthen those NPUs? I think the first part is making sure that they're more inclusive. Mm-hmm. You know, for a long time, we've had a lot of the same leadership in positions making decisions for community. And so I think, you know, Zoom, we live in a Zoom world now. Yeah. So we're starting to kind of see things go more hybrid. And what we saw was more participation from people who hadn't normally been able to participate in the meetings. And I think that's important.
I want to get you on record for this. And, and so please forgive me. I'm going to give you a warning. While they're making coffee, should community benefits, should that be a binding agreement that developers actually have in writing with communities? Should it be something that is a binding agreement that's in writing? Because so many neighborhoods have been promised this, that, and the third from said developer, said development, and then it came online, and they got nothing.
Yeah, I think if you are getting any type of government assistance or any incentives, then yes, I think there should be community benefits that go back to that community because taxpayers are pouring their
A binding agreement?
No, I think it should be binding.
Okay.
I agree. I think if you are getting any type of incentives, then it should be a binding agreement, and I think you should be willing to give back to the community, not just coming in being a speculator, building something that has a business in the community. You should be part of that community as well.
All right. What do you want folks to know about your commitment to this community, Councilmember Winston?
You know, I'm in my dream job. You know, I talked about why I got into this position. I get to help people every day. I get yelled at in between a little bit, between helping folks every day, but I enjoy it. This is something that I've always wanted to do, and I'm able to do it at a high level. I'm working with a new group of folks on council that most of us are in lockstep. We're working together. Everybody just wants to get something done and to keep seeing progress in this city.
How do you deal with criticism?
You know, you internalize it. You know, I tell folks all the time, don't wait until you're so angry at me that, you know, about decisions I made. Let me know. Let's have conversations. I appreciate that. I want to know. If I'm not living up to the expectations that you want me to.
They have your phone number?
Yep. If they should. If not, you know, they can always get it.
Because I feel like all of Atlanta has my phone number. Conversations coming from Atlanta's coffee shops. And get this, folks. These are suggested by you, the listeners. And right now we're fundraising to continue the series like Coffee Conversations and where I say we curate content just like the one you heard. I'm Rose Scott, and I'm joined by WABE politics reporter Sam Greenglass. And Sam, can you believe it? 75 years WABE has been in existence. How about that?
It's a big anniversary, and I think fitting for the role that we play in this community.
Absolutely.
And, you know, right now, when you give to support Closer Look and WABE, we are entering your name to win an annual pass for two adults and up to four kids to the Children's Museum. This drawing is open to you for giving to WABE right now at wabe.org/donate. And we really do need you to help put on the work that we do. For full contest rules, you can go to wabe.org/contest rules. And you can also give by calling 678-553-9090. And thank you.
My name is Taylor Iogo, and I live in West Manor Park in Southwest Atlanta. I love Rose Scott because she's not afraid to ask hard questions. And she holds people accountable. And it's often really funny because, like, Rose will ask the follow-up question right after I'm like, what did they say? And it's just, and then she'll say it just like that. And so it's almost as close as I can get to asking these people the questions myself.
What did they say? That's exactly what's happening in my mind.
I mean, Rose, that is part of the value of the show is that you're an advocate for the listeners. You know, they don't get to sit in front of these politicians. You do. And you ask the questions that everyone wants to hear. It's important for our democracy that we have fearless journalists like Rose to ask those questions. So thank you for supporting Closer Look with Rose Scott. And, you know, I meet people all the time who haven't met Rose in person but feel like they know her so well, and that's because of the connection she creates across the airwaves. If that sounds like you, then help us produce Closer Look with a monthly gift. It is just a few clicks at wabe.org/donate. Thank you.
As we celebrate 75 years of service, we've created a special thank you gift. It's the brand new, iconic WABE tote bag. To create it, we've turned to Atlanta artist Melissa A. Mitchell. It's vibrantly colored, along with our 75th anniversary logo. And it's yours with a new monthly gift of $10 or a one-time gift of $120. When we say listener-funded, we mean you. So take 3 minutes to give right now at wabe.org/donate or call 678-553-9090. Thank you.
I know what you're thinking, listeners. Another tote bag, but understand this is an iconic tote bag. Iconic. It's not your grandma's tote bag of public media years.
People are going to be stopping you when you're walking around outside saying, that tote bag.
Where'd you get that? So it really is. It is. I know what you're thinking. Do I need another tote bag? Yes, you do. Because this one, it's special. It's iconic. It's what it is, right? How many tote bags you have at home, Sam?
I can't tell you. It's a secret.
I mean, mugs.
I could use more mugs. I can always
use
more mugs.
You could. I have at least 36 public media mugs. Half are from WABE. The other half from around other places. And socks.
Have you seen? I can't remember if it's. I think it's John Lansing, the CEO of NPR, has a wall collection of every public radio mug in the whole country. Hundreds.
Okay.
I don't have enough kitchen space for that. But no. WAB mugs, they got a special spot in my cabinet.
But you could use some more is what you're saying.
Yep, and I'm sure you could too. So click right now, wabe.org/donate. Get that mug. Go for it.
And remember now, the iconic tote bag.
Iconic.
Iconic. Listen, because you value and appreciate WABE, why not show your philanthropic side as well? You could be a WABE Cornerstone Society member. We love all our members. We really do. There's something special about a Cornerstone Society member because you get to become a Cornerstone Society member. They get invitations to a variety of functions throughout the year and also attend some pretty unique insider events. So think about how much you appreciate WABE, how long you've been listening, and join us at the Cornerstone level. If you're not sure what the Cornerstone level is all about, Sam Greenglass will tell you.
Okay, so Rose, this is a monthly donation of $125. That makes you a sustainer. Or with a single gift of $1,500 a year. Give because you value truth, you value facts. Amplify your philanthropic side as a Cornerstone Society member at wabe.org/donate or with the call 678-553-9090. Thanks.
As we celebrate 75 years of service, we've created a special thank you gift. It's the brand new, iconic WABE tote bag. To create it, we've turned to Atlanta artist Melissa A. Mitchell. It's vibrantly colored, along with our 75th anniversary logo. And it's yours with a new monthly gift of $10 or a one-time gift of $120. When we say listener-funded, we mean you. So take 3 minutes to give right now at wabe.org/donate or call 678-553-9090. Thank you.
And make sure you ask for the iconic tote bag. I want you to say that. When the operator, when the rep answers, say, listen, first of all, be polite. And then say, I would like the iconic tote bag.
Iconic specifically. Got to get the right one.
Iconic. And when you give to support WABE, you're supporting all of the interesting interviews and information you get here on Closer Look. Not just Closer Look, City Lights, anything with H. Johnson, All Things Considered, Morning Edition, anything in between, Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, Snap Judgment. You like it. I love it. You love it. I like it. And remember now, for today, when you make a donation, you'll be entered to win an annual pass for two adults up to four kids to the Children's Museum. It's a really, really cool place. So please just take a couple of minutes right now to give. You can set up a monthly sustainer membership. You can do that now at wabe.org/donate or with a call 678-553-9090, and we'll walk you through the process. And as always, it's a very big thank you on this day of our spring member drive. And Sam, before we get to credits and say goodbye, how long have you been part of the WAB newsroom now?
Year and a half.
Yeah. What do you think?
I mean, you can't ask for a better place in terms of the culture, in terms of rootedness in the community. It is so different to live in the place that you cover versus just dropping into a place. You know, we are part of this thing that we're doing. We live here. We have stakes in it as well.
I see you on the Beltline at times.
Rose and I are always running into each other. Trader Joe's, too.
Absolutely. Trader Joe's. You know, I was in Trader Joe's the other day.
But I wasn't.
I am. Name dropping. That was not a paid.
Oops.
That's okay. You know, but still looking for the best ice cream shop in all of the region. No one has yet, you know, I haven't been able to say this is the iconic ice cream creamery, whatever you want to call it.
I hear a Closer Look series.
Ice cream and conversations with Sam Greenglass.
I'm in. Just got to ask my editor.
That's all right. You like ice cream?
Of course I do. Right. I eat it every night.
Do you really?
Yeah. Trying to cut back, but.
Every night, Sam?
I mean, you cover politics. What else can you do but end the day with a big spoonful of cookies and cream?
No wonder you're on the Beltline every day. Sam, thank you so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it. And thank you all. And that's it for this edition of Closer Look. Our producers are Daniel Razel, LaShawn Hudson. Our supervising producer is Tiffany Griffith. Our engineer is Sawyer Vanderwerth. A big thank you to everyone on this first day of our spring member drive. And remember now, you can give at 678-553-9090 or online at wabe.org/donate. Stay tuned to 90.1 WABE Atlanta. I'm Rose Scott.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.
The Gold Dome Scramble podcast is now plugged in, a WABE politics podcast. New name, same in-depth, on-the-ground reporting from us, WABE politics reporters Sam Greenglass and Raul Bally. We'll cover local, state, and national politics as we go beyond the headlines with journalists, voters, and politicians. New episodes drop Fridays starting April 26th. Listen and subscribe at WABE.org or your favorite podcast platform.